I invite you this morning to turn in your Bibles to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 22. I have up here a rock, and that's very obvious to your sight. This rock, it's heavy. It's just your typical rock, if you can have a typical rock. I think pretty much they're all different. But this rock, it's hard. It's got some weight to it. It's fairly ordinary, bland in color, but yet this rock will serve to be a very vivid illustration for us today. Because as you look at God's Word, God wants us to recognize Him as our rock. It's been fascinating over the past couple of weeks to go through the scriptures and to see what they say about God, or what does God say about Himself, or how does God seek to be known by His people? How do the people in the scriptures relate to God? Last week we looked at how people relate to God as their refuge, their shelter in the time of a storm. And today we look to see how God desires us to relate to Him as our rock. Knowing God as our rock. Seems like a pretty elementary thought, doesn't it? But I really wanted to dive deep into this and seek to understand why it is that God desires us to relate to Him as our rock. What is so significant about that illustration? When you think of a rock, many things probably come to mind. Just like with our children this morning as we talked about the rock. A rock is something hard. A rock is heavy and it's solid. A rock's a firm foundation. Having worked in the construction field, it was always the goal to find some good, sturdy bedrock upon which to build. And if you weren't able to find good, sturdy bedrock, they would put rock in to build upon. Rock is something that is so common to us, but yet the question that we need to ask is, do we relate to God as our rock? The question is, what does that mean? And I trust that today the scriptures will unfold a little bit more of what that means to us today. You're turning your Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 22. This is at the end of David's life and reign as king of Israel. Now, when you think about the life of David, it's a life full of adventure, full of challenges and hardships, a life that has its ups and its downs, a life that produced some of the most beautiful words we have in the scriptures and the Psalms. But in the closing words of King David, we read this, chapter 22, 2 Samuel, verse 1. David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. And he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. The God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior, thou savest me from violence. Well, you see here, in just the first three verses of this chapter, we get to know a little bit of how David relates to his God, doesn't he? Don't we? There's an incredible perception and trust here in the Almighty Jehovah God that David can say such things. He looks at Jehovah as his Lord, as his fortress, as his deliverer. And one of the first things that I believe God wants us to understand about God is that He is our rock of salvation. That He is our rock of deliverance. The context here is that David is writing this, and you see it in verse 1. He's writing it because Jehovah God had delivered him out of the hand of all of his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. Well, I trust you remember that David had a pretty rocky relationship with Saul at the very beginning, didn't he? Saul being the first king of Israel, David then anointed by Samuel under the direction of God to be the next king of Israel. Now Saul, finding this out, is out to get David. David's popularity grows as he goes out against Goliath and conquers Goliath with God's strength. And so from then on out, there is this battle, if you will, between Saul and David. We remember the stories of David running through the wilderness while Saul was out to kill him. We remember David seeking to soothe Saul in his courtroom and Saul throwing a spear, trying to pin David to the wall. Throughout that time period, it is recorded that God used David to bring deliverance to Israel from the Philistines. And then as David then assumed a throne and King Saul was killed, David assumed a throne and continued to vanquish all of the enemies around, so that at the end of his life, he was able to leave Solomon, his son and successor, he was able to leave him a very peaceful realm. So David, at the end of his life, he's thanking God for deliverance out of the hand of all of his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. And as he does this, he relates to God, "You are my rock. You are my deliverer." Now, when we think about that, we just immediately kind of read over that phrase without really thinking about what it means. Because for God to be his rock in the face of enemies, in the face of this torment from King Saul and the family of King Saul, even after King Saul had died, in the face of all of these things, David could still relate to God as trustworthy, as his Savior and deliverer. And so therefore, David understood the consistency of God's salvation. You see, God is consistent, and He is a deliverer of His people. We read on in this passage, picking up at verse 4, "I will call on the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. When the waves of death compassed me, the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me." Verse 7, "In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried to my God, and He did hear my voice out of His temple, and my cry did enter into His ears." We see the cry of deliverance, and God answered that call. And David says, "God, You are my rock." You know, dear ones, as we live in this world, in this life, You're going to have times when you're calling out for deliverance. When you're calling out for God, please help me or deliver me. And it is very important that we, like David, get to know God as a rock, as consistently a deliverer, a savior. You know, what's fascinating as well as we consider salvation, spiritual salvation, the new birth. You know, the scriptures tell us that Jesus Christ and believing in Him and the gospel brings about salvation. And that is a consistent truth throughout the scriptures. Jesus Christ is called the rock, the stumbling stone. And Jesus Christ being the rock, He's consistently the deliverer, our Savior. And as you and I, as we walk through this life, we need to understand He's God, our refuge, and He protects us from the storms of life. But we also need to understand He is our Savior, and He is consistently delivering His people. And He brings about that deliverance in many different ways, many different times. But He is our rock, our Savior, our deliverer. And we can count on that as we read the many passages throughout the scriptures, especially in the Psalms, where we see David and the other psalmists speak of God as their rock and as their Savior. You know, the Nabateans understood rocks for protection and for salvation. They were the inhabitants of Petra. You remember Petra? That incredible city that's built into the side of a mountain, carved into the rocks. These people understood rocks to be a place of safety, a place of deliverance. And so therefore, that's where they found their home. You know, to the Israelites, a rock meant provisions. A rock meant provisions because you see, the first mention of a rock in the scriptures is found in Exodus chapter 17, verse 6. And you guess what happened there? The rock brought forth water. And as I sought to understand why would people look to God, relate to God as their rock, I went to this idea of, well, what was their understanding of a rock? What is the scripture's background of a rock? And it's interesting, as you look at it, the very first mention is that a rock provides sustenance in life. And so therefore the Israelites, they looked at a rock as means of provision, where Jehovah provided them with water. Moses, when he thought of a rock, the Lord told him when he was up on the mountain, "Stand upon a rock, and I will pass before you. And as I pass before you, I will hide you in the cleft of the rock." And so therefore, as Moses relates to his God as a rock, he understands that God is a rock. He is my protector. He shields me from things that he knows I just can't handle. Moses also, in a song at the end of Deuteronomy chapter 32, describes God as a great provider, as completely just and faithful. God is the foundation of Israel. We need to understand that God is our rock, He's our Savior, He's our deliverer. But also, let's look at this point, that God is our rock, He's our stable foundation. You know, that's a common thing when we think about rock. We say we need to build it on a rock. We build it upon that firm foundation. And as you and I, as we relate to God, and we need to, and we should, God wants us to understand that He is the firm foundation. Flip over to Psalm chapter 40. Psalm chapter 40. Interestingly enough, this is a psalm of David. Listen to what the Lord does here. Psalm 40, verse 1, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. You know, dear ones, I believe David related to God as his rock because he trusted God. He trusted Him to the point that he was willing to take a step out and stand upon God because he believed God was as a rock, was as stable and firm as a foundation made of solid rock. In order for us to walk with God and enjoy victories in this life, we must understand our God and understand that He is our refuge and shelters us from the storm. Understand that He is our rock. He is our Savior, our Deliverer. He is also able to be trusted. He is firm foundation for our feet. So that when you and I stand upon God and trust in Him, we can have the confidence that He will see us through. Why do we need these kinds of truths? It's because the difficulties of life seek to get our minds distracted off of the things of God and onto the things of this world. The things of this world, dear ones, are shaky like the sand. They are not firm. And that, in Psalm 40, what the psalmist describes there, what David describes of being in a horrible pit, of being in miry clay, have you ever been there? Have you ever been just stuck in mud to the point that it pulls your boot off? Oh, that is not fun. Especially when you don't have a change of socks. But the reality is we know what that's like to get stuck in that. What do we look for? We look for the rocks. Well, why do we look for the rocks? It's because in our mind, history tells us, our parents have taught us, and we've just learned by experience, the rocks are the better way to go. And so therefore, in the scriptures, we see God is our rock, a firm foundation for our feet, so that as we walk through this world full of its ups and downs, and there's inconsistencies everywhere, and things are always changing. Have you noticed that? If people aren't based upon the Lord, their beliefs, their opinions are going to just waver as the waves of the sea. But the rock stays firm. The rock stays hard. You can jump up and down on a rock, and it's going to just stay a rock. Back to 2 Samuel. I want to read on. 2 Samuel, picking it up at verse 8. The earth shook and trembled. The foundations of heaven moved and shook because he was wroth. Who was wroth? This was God. And I want you to notice something interesting here. The earth is shaking and trembling. So we can't even trust this earth, but we can trust God. Earthquakes are happening. Earthquakes splitting up rocks everywhere, aren't they? But we can trust our God. There went up, verse 9, there went up a smoke out of his nostrils and a fire out of his mouth, devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed to the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub and did fly, and he was seen upon the wings of the wind. Verse 12, and he made darkness pavilions around about him, dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. Through the brightness before him were the coals of fire kindled. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice. And he sent out arrows and scattered them, lightning, and discomfited them. And the channels of the sea appeared, and the foundations of the world were discovered at the rebuking of the Lord, at the blast of the breath of his nostrils. How does David relate to his God? He is solid and firm. Verse 17, he sent from above, he took me, he drew me out of many waters, he delivered me from my strong enemy and from them that hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity. Now listen to this, but the Lord was my stay. The Lord was my consistent one. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. Dear ones, that's our God. That is our God. The same God who David worshiped and served is the same God that you and I worship today. And he is our rock, a mighty fortress, our refuge, our savior, our deliverer. He's consistently that, and he's a firm place for us to stand. We can trust him. We can trust him that he will always hold us, for he is firm like a rock. The Lord rewarded me, verse 21, according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands, hath recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord, and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and as for his statutes, I did not depart from them. I was also upright before him, and have kept myself from mine iniquity. Therefore the Lord hath recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanness in his eyesight. With the merciful thou wilt show mercy, and with the upright man thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure thou wilt show thyself pure, and with the froward thou wilt show thyself unsavory. And the afflicted people thou wilt save, but thine eyes are upon the haughty, that thou mayest bring them down. Now listen to these. For thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness. For by thee I have run through a troop. By my God have I leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler or a shield to all them that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord? And who is a rock save our God? You know, I'm reading a lot of scripture today, but then again, that's what we're about, the Word of God. And I can't say it any better than this, than David here, as he is communicating at the end of his life and looking back over a kingdom and a lifetime where he had his ups and downs. Yes, there was times of sin, but there was times of repentance. There was times of victories, times of defeat. There was times of great family struggle. But he looked at his God and he said, who is God save Jehovah? Who is a rock save our God? In other words, there's one. There's one who's my God. It's Jehovah. There is one who is my rock. And it is God. Dear ones, we can't argue with that. We can't produce anything comes close to the stability and faithfulness of our God. He goes on and he writes and he speaks, God is my strength, verse 33. God is my strength and power, and he maketh my way perfect. Notice, God is his salvation as a rock. God is his foundation as a rock. But even God is his guidance as a rock. Remember in Psalm 40, the psalmist wrote about, you picked me up, put me on a rock, and you established my goings. It's this idea of God has it laid out for us a path that is firm and stable, and he desires us to follow him in obedience. What's that verse in Proverbs? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and what? And he shall direct your paths. God is my strength. 2 Samuel 22:33. God is my strength and power, and he maketh my way perfect or complete. He maketh my feet like hinds feet. That's like a deer. All right? And if you've seen deer, it's very rare that you will see them stumble or fall. God has designed them in such a way that they are able to navigate the most difficult of terrain. It fascinates me to see those white mountain goats that stand on the very tippy tops of mountain rocks, and yet they are able to navigate them with great precision. God made them that way. And David here establishes this fact. He maketh my feet like hinds feet, and he setteth me upon my high places. He teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, so that my feet did not slip. Notice, as God is our rock, he is our guiding one. He guides us and helps us not only to have a firm footing, but to know where to place our feet. He puts that path before us so that we might know we can walk and trust in him to guide us. Verse 38, I've pursued mine enemies, destroyed them, and turned not again until I had consumed them. I've consumed them and wounded them, that they could not arise. Yea, they are fallen under my feet, for thou hast girded me with strength to battle. Them that rose up against me hast thou subdued under me. Thou hast also given me the necks of mine enemies, that I might destroy them that hate me. So now we're seeing, God is my rock, he is my strength. So God is my salvation, he is my foundation, he is my guide, and now he is my strength. Psalm 19. You can turn there briefly or just listen. I'm just going to read one verse. Psalm 19. Very fascinating psalm. If you ever get a chance to read it, it's very encouraging. Last verse, verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength. That word is rock. O Lord, my rock, my strength, and my redeemer. So David, speaking of his deliverance and conquering over his enemies, verse 41, thou hast also given me the necks of mine enemies, that I might destroy them that hate me. They looked, but there was none to save, even unto the Lord, but he answered them not. Then did I beat them as small as the dust of the earth. I did stamp them as the mire of the street, and did spread them abroad. Thou hast also hast delivered me from the strivings of my people, that hast kept me to be the head of the heathen. A people which I knew not shall serve me. Strangers shall submit themselves unto me. As soon as they hear, they shall be obedient unto me. Strangers shall fade away, and they shall be afraid out of their close places. Now look at verse 47. The Lord liveth, Jehovah liveth, and blessed be my what? Blessed be my rock. Again, we see David looking to his God, and he says, God, you are my rock. And exalted be the God of the rock of my salvation. And here at the close, he returns and comes full circle. And referring to God as the rock of his salvation. Verse 48, it is God that avengeth me and that bringeth down the people under me. Notice who gets the credit. Notice who the rock is. It's not David. It's his God. Verse 49, and that bringeth me forth from mine enemies. Thou also hast lifted me up on high above them that rose up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Therefore, I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and I will sing praises unto thy name. He is the tower of salvation for his king, and showeth mercy to his anointed, unto David and to his seed forevermore. We just read some of the last words of King David as he looks back over his life in relationship to God. One common theme we see is God was his rock. God was his rock of salvation, his deliverer, the one who rescued him from his enemies, from the family of Saul. We see that God is his rock of stability as a foundation, able to be trusted with his life, with his feet. We see God as his rock of guidance, guiding his steps and pointing his way. Something I'm sure David came to grips with in the mountains and the wilderness as Saul was out to get him. And David saw time and time again the Lord deliver him and guide him to the caves and the mountains that he needed to escape Saul. And we see God as the rock. He's my strength. He is my strength. I stand upon him, and I will not be moved. And so, dear ones, as we consider this truth, O God, you are my rock. The question comes down to this. Do you look to God as your rock? Are you relating to God as your strong one, the one who is able to be trusted with your life, the one who is your guide and guides you in your steps, the one who is your deliverer, the one who is your foundation for living? You know, Jesus, he is God, and he understood this truth, and Matthew chapter 7, we looked at it with the children this morning, but he used this same idea. Life needs to be built upon something solid. You obey me, Jesus says. You obey me. And it's like you're building a house on a rock that's able to withstand the storms, the waves of life. What about you? Do you find yourself in a storm? Do you find yourself being overwhelmed by the waves of life? Stand upon the rock who is God himself. Stand upon him and trust him and his word. You know, Christianity is by faith. We have to believe that God's word is true. And if we read and we see that the man, the King David, based his life upon the Lord and saw God as his rock, and God blessed and saw him through. Was David's life perfect? No. Was it free from hardship? No. But at the end of his life, despite all of those things, he still could look back and he said, God, you're a rock. You're my rock. You're my strength, my foundation. And that is because his focus ended up being on God himself. And that's where we need to be. We've got to trust his word that this is true and trust your life into his strong arms. In closing, I just want to draw our attention to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Corinthian church, speaking of Israel here, verse 1, moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea and did all eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. You know, I would be remiss if I did not take an opportunity today to remind you of Jesus Christ. Because as we talk about a rock, as we talk about a firm footing and a firm foundation, there is none other who can equal that of Jesus Christ. The life that he gives through his death, his burial, and resurrection. The gospel of Jesus Christ. He is a firm place for you to stand. Have you chosen to trust in Jesus today? Are you able to look at your life and to say that you stand upon firm footing that will never waver, that will never crack, your life based on Jesus Christ? If your answer to that question is no, or I don't understand, the message of the Bible is clear. The message is that Jesus Christ is God's Son who came to this earth with the sole purpose of being the Redeemer, for being someone, being the one who enabled sinners such as myself and such as you to go from being spiritually dead to being spiritually alive, from being destined to eternity apart from God to being destined to eternity with God in a place called heaven. That's why Jesus Christ came. And while he was here, he opened our eyes to God himself and to who he is and how he desires us to live and operate on this earth. And we have it recorded for us in the scriptures. So what about you? What are you standing upon? Who are you standing upon? Is it a firm foundation? Is it God? Jehovah? Is it Jesus Christ and the salvation that you have found in him? Or is it upon the different cultural trends? Or the belief systems of family and friends? Or is it upon the pleasures of the world? Is it upon the pleasing of men? All of these are shifting sands. God desires us to stand upon the rock. And my prayer is that you and I, at the end of the day, can look up to the Lord and we can say, God, you are my rock. I have trusted in you today, and I lay my head on this pillow trusting you for the morrow. God, you are my rock. Is that true for you? It can be. you can know Jesus and can know the confidence that we can have in life by relating to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's solid, firm foundation, our Savior, our Deliverer, our Guide, our Strength. Do you look at God as your rock?